Thank you for joining me today on In Good Faith for our journey to Easter. This is a Holy Week series looking at the meaning and the significance of each of the days of Holy Week throughout the Christian world. And I'm so pleased to be here with Pastor Mike Smith from Centerpoint Church in Orem, Utah. Pastor Mike, thank you very much for being with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You will be participating in our Journey to Easter concert, sharing a short reflection about Palm Sunday, but we want to go deeper today, and I'm so pleased that you would kick off the whole week, so to speak, of this final week of Jesus. And Palm Sunday, why do we call it that?
It's a remarkable day in the life of Jesus because it's his procession into Jerusalem on the week of the Passover.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons they used palm leaves was because from what I can understand is the Jewish people had associated palm leaves since really the Maccabean revolts 150 years before that, kind of in that intertestamental period when there was a Maccabean revolt. They actually welcomed those victors with palm leaves. And I think ever since then, it was a symbol of like victory and deliverance and hope. And so if you actually just read these verses of the triumphal entry is what we call it, Palm Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's very short. It's 3 to 5 verses. It's in all the Gospels. And that's because there's a lot before it that's packed into it that you have to understand.
Mm. Why it's so meaningful.
Why it's so meaningful. I mean, because I'm not Jewish. Huge, massive respect for the Jewish faith because they have handed me an understanding of the New Testament through their Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament. And that first day of what we call Palm Sunday, what we now call Holy Week, was a celebration that they had every year where they would celebrate the Passover. Mm-hmm. And it was the most important celebration of the whole year. And the population of Jerusalem would, some would say it would quadruple, some would say even greater. People from all across the land, Jews who lived all across the Roman Empire, would come back to Jerusalem for that week. And so it was packed and it was anticipation.
Yeah.
And when they were coming in, if you put yourself in the place of somebody who lived in Jerusalem at the time, they are getting ready to celebrate the Passover feast. And the Passover feast in itself is this remembering when God delivered the Israelites from oppression in Egypt. He split the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land. All that is the story of God's deliverance. But there was also another promise dating back hundreds of years of this next king who was going to come, the Messiah. And this Messiah was prophesied to be from the line of David. He would almost be like a king like David. Now, if you were living in that time, think of what they were going through. In Jerusalem, they weren't free. The Roman Empire had essentially taken the leadership. They were the rulers of the time, but they let the Jews have their religion.
Yeah.
But during Passover week, they knew that just like every other year, all of these people were going to come. So the Roman soldiers, they would send a lot more of them. Pontius Pilate, you've heard of Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
He operates out of Caesarea, but during Passover week, he actually moves to Jerusalem.
The Antonio Fortress overlooking the temple. So he's
yes.
like, nothing bad is going to happen
exactly.
on my watch.
Exactly. You have this anticipation where you're celebrating what God did in the past,
mm-hmm.
but you're also still occupied. And you're also still feeling like you are not a free people. And so there's a confusion and a tension mixed with this hope and anticipation. Now imagine, amidst all of that, you suddenly hear people start to scream out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is Hebrew for Lord, save us, Lord, save mm-hmm. us. And if you were one of them, you would immediately go, but there's only one reason people would be screaming that. You probably would look around you and you'd start to see people start to rip palm leaves off.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't something that happens every day. This is a symbol of a victory, a hope, a king. I would imagine that if they heard the screaming in the streets and it wasn't a battle cry, it was a cry of hope and deliverance. Hosanna, save us, probably with a little bit of desperation in there.
Mm.
And you start to see people grab palm leaves. You go, grab palm leaves, let's go. And just imagine, here's what it says in Matthew chapter 21. Like I said, it's only a few verses. They brought this donkey for Jesus to sit on. They laid clothes on him and he sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. And then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And it says, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in uproar saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. if you're watching him come in and you hear people screaming out from Psalm chapter 118, and to any young Jew, you know this psalm. Mm. And you know that what this means, the king, the Messiah, the promised deliverer is coming into town.
In a manner prophesied.
In a manner prophesied. Now, some would say they would have expected him to come on a battle horse. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because Zechariah 9, which Matthew tells us the verse prior, this takes place just like Zechariah 9, where Jesus doesn't come on a war horse, a white mm-hmm. horse, like he does in Revelation at the end of time. He comes on a donkey, signaling a different kind of king, a different kind of entrance. Now, I don't know if they expected a king on a white horse. Mm-hmm. I could imagine they probably would have expected something. And for them, just the excitement and the hope and the anticipation of what was going to take place in the coming days, I bet was just palpable. I bet you could just feel the excitement and also maybe even the fear, because as they see this potential king walking into Jerusalem, they can also see the Roman soldiers all over.
Yeah.
And they know that if he does start a revolt, like somebody did 4 years earlier, there was another Messiah that came and he tried to start a revolt, and there's going to be bloodshed, but there might be freedom. And what's important about Holy Week is to remember that in all that excitement, Jesus didn't end up being the king that most of them expected. He didn't come to set them free from Rome. He came to set them free from something much bigger. Hmm. He didn't come just for the Jews. He came for the Jews first, but then he came for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to bring actual salvation to all of humanity who would be willing to let him be king. And so that's why I like to unpack it from the perspective of those who were there, so you can realize that even though it's five verses in one of the books of the Bible, of this little tiny procession, to put yourself there and really understand the anticipation and the expectation of who this king would be is what makes this story come alive.
What that would have felt like.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
To them. Now, don't some of the religious leaders say, hey, make everyone stop saying this. We're going to get in trouble.
The religious leaders at the time, they were not okay with Jesus claiming to be the Messiah. Hmm. Now, in the Gospels leading up to this, he doesn't hide that he's the Messiah, but when it comes out, he often tells them, now's not the time, don't tell anybody yet. Because he knows that people are expecting a king, and he doesn't want to be whipped away into somebody else's expectations. He wants it to happen the way God had planned it to happen. And so when the religious leaders came, they were very cautious to watch Jesus because they believed that they knew how this Messiah would come. They believed they knew what this Messiah would do when he came. And so they watched Jesus very carefully to see, will he do what we, the religious leaders, expect him to do?
Yeah.
And you know what? Not to jump ahead, but since we're not getting into the day, the first thing Jesus does when he walks into Jerusalem, the very first thing he does, he walks right into the temple courts where the religious leaders have established this system of worship. And first thing he does is go, you're not using this the way it was created to be. And he flips tables and and so he immediately says, if you had any doubt that I'm not who you thought I was, I'm going to remove all that doubt. Yes. And that's part of the tension that comes with Holy Week is feeling we have this expectation of a king. What do we do when he doesn't act the way that we thought he was going to act? And honestly, that's the battle every person has when they encounter the person of Jesus is I worship him or follow him or let him be king only if he does it on my terms. Hmm.
Or doesn't ask too much of me.
Or will I let him be king on his terms and trust that he is a good king? Mm-hmm. He knows more than I do. And I can trust him to be everything he was promised to be. And that's the battle of the Christian faith, isn't it? That's every day we wake up and go, will I let him be king on his terms? Or will I only follow him on my terms?
Well, you've shared some of your thinking about this, but for anyone who's thinking, this Holy Week, I want to take time every day to spend a little time in the New Testament, to think about the day. What do you suggest about Palm Sunday? What might we take some time to ponder or think about?
Go to the Bible. Even though it's 1 week in Jesus's life, the Gospels dedicate a ton of time to it. Mm-hmm. Most of the Gospels have between a quarter and a third. Matthew, Mark, and Luke dedicate. But see, John himself dedicates almost 50% of his writing to that 1 week. And so maybe you don't have time to read all of John, but start at the triumphal entry and then start following Jesus's life that week and see the drama unfold as you read it. Maybe do a reading every day. I think the best way to engage God's story is by engaging God's word. And so this week, one way to celebrate it is just presenting yourself to God's word. And each day, follow along what's happening. Mm-hmm. Some days will be a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Some days will be a little ambiguous where you might not know exactly what day of the week it is, and that's okay. But man, when you get to Thursday, when the servants should be washing his feet, he washes his disciples.
Yeah.
Instead of eating a Passover lamb, they break bread, the Holy Eucharist, the communion for the first time, the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, go there. Go there this week. Hmm. Go there along with Jesus. That's why he gave us his word, so that we could go there and present ourselves to him through it.
I'm pleased and intrigued to be reminded that three or four verses could set me on a day of think or a week of thinking about how do I give myself as a servant to a king in the way the king wants to be served or wants to help me become.
Yeah. As Americans, we don't have a good picture of kingship in general, but there's no better metaphor. You read the Bible, you have a lot of bad kings, but Jesus was promised to be the good king. He promised to be the one who would protect. He promised to be the one who would provide, to give purpose, and he promised to be the one who deliver and save. And the gift that he's giving us is, he's not saying you have to be born into it. He's not saying you have to go and conquer and then maybe you'll be let in. He said, if you'd be willing to leave your own crown and your own little kingdom outside, you can come and be part of my kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what we consider like giving your life to Jesus, like salvation. We believe salvation is a gift of grace that God gave us because he paid the price, the entrance fee to enter into his kingdom. The only thing he asks is that we leave our crowns outside the door. That's it.
I think we're so individualistic in our particular society. Really, we might call it captain of my destiny. Yeah. But that idea, both scriptural and in the hymn, all the elders cast their crowns before him, which is actually quite an emotional image to me. And something that we each have to decide if we can do.
And it's something that we're called to do over and over again.
Hmm.
When I first let Jesus be king, I knew that he was asking me to trust him. And I didn't know if I could trust him with certain parts of my life. I didn't know if he would be a good king. I thought maybe he would rip things away from me or require things of me I didn't want to give.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is he did pull things away from me because they were killing me and hurting me. And he did ask me to do hard things, but they were the best things. That's why he says, seek first my kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. He promised to lay his life down for me that if I would trust him, he would give me the life I was created for, which includes eternal life. So all the things that I was trying to accomplish with my own little kingdom, like you said, what a great way to put it. I never could accomplish them because my shoulders weren't created for that kind of weight. They weren't. This head was not created for that kind of crown. Jesus's was. And so that's why Palm Sunday is so beautiful to me, is it's the first picture of Jesus saying, I am the one you were waiting for. This next week is not going to look the way that many people think it'll look. It's not going to look victorious the way people think, because I'm not going to rise up with a sword. I'm actually going to lay my life down. And in his kingdom, he calls us not to pick up the sword, but to also lay down our lives, to also serve instead of take, to also love instead of hate. And that's what it means to be a person of his kingdom. And that's why people, I don't need to wear a flag or a crown or a banner or a sash for people to know I'm a Jesus guy. They look at your life and they go, you walk like he walked. He served. He gave away his life. He chose to forgive instead of get revenge. And every time we do that, they go, you're starting to look a little bit like the king you follow. You go, that's the point. That's great.
Thank you for the depth of your experience and your thinking, for taking us into the word. Just a reminder, I hope people will join us on April 13th, Palm Sunday of this year at the Marriott Center on the Brigham Young University campus for Journey to Easter, a beautiful concert and a walk through the events of Holy Week with various reflections from pastors and academics, including Pastor Mike Smith, as well as the Luke's Choral Society and Orchestra. Thanks to Pastor Mike for sharing his thoughts on Palm Sunday, and I hope you'll learn about each of the days of Holy Week on our Journey to Easter Holy Week mini-series on the In Good Faith podcast. Follow us all the usual places, Apple, Spotify, or watch this interview on our YouTube channel. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. And thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me an opportunity to share. I love this stuff.
I can tell.
I'm a big fan of Jesus' story. So thank you for having me.